Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
So let's talk about less contentious.
Yeah.
Well, maybe some people would find
no more floor area ratios. There we go. Let's talk a little bit about Central Square.
Yes.
All right, so we went on a walking tour this past, when was it?
Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday,
from
right?
Five to seven.
I did the double header. I was going to try and do the triple header and get to Patty's lunch, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So we did, it was a mural walk through
Central
Square.
Potential mural walk, right.
Well, we went by some existing murals,
right.
But also some, there are some big plans for some new murals.
Sponsored by the Central Square Business Association, yes.
It's basically coordinated by Central Square Business Association.
No, but I mean, this walk in particular was...
Well, Michael Monestine.
Yeah, he led the walk.
Right,
yeah.
But the thing is, he's sort of starting to morph into a role of the potential person associated with a business improvement district, which doesn't exist.
But it's on the table for discussion.
So what's, I think it's fair to say that what we saw was kind of a collaboration of property owners.
Yes, that's true.
Michael Monestine and the Central Square Business Association.
Right.
And Jason Weeks and the Cambridge Arts Council.
Which is the city. So it was a nice combo because you do need to have cooperation.
With the property
owners.
So the big idea, let's sort of cut to the chase, not bury the lead, right? Is that the there is a proposal, active proposal, to put up, I believe, 10 murals.
It's 10, right.
Around the Greater Central Square area. In a couple of locations in places where there's something there currently, but primarily fresh sites, which don't have anything right now. So, and, you know, there are some things to talk about this, to be sure. It was a pretty good crowd of people
that came on the walk. Yeah, about 30 people, I think,
You know, but anyway, so let's just dive right in
go
here.
To some
we'll
photos.
Sort of walk through the photos
right.
here.
So here's Michael.
Right.
Okay.
So we assembled at Lafayette Square.
Right.
And, and by the way, I did learn that the old, the building that had the marker for Lafayette Square.
Yeah.
That did get knocked down as part of Mass and Main.
Oh.
Is actually, the facade is going to be recreated and the insignia, the plaque that said Lafayette Square is going to be put right
back
there.
See, I didn't even know about that.
You know, chalk one up for historic preservation.
Wow. Speaking of... Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, Mass and Main is definitely,
it's definitely
about,
happening
about
right now.
About seven floors up, six and a half floors of steel up now.
Yeah, amazing.
So here's Michael Monestine,
okay.
who was giving basically the circus barker here, instead of telling what was up, right? Actually, by the way, there's a little bit of sculpture behind him that was actually a piece by Adam Simha.
This one, the orange...
Is that
steel?
Sort of a chimey one. Not my favorite. I think it breaks down a little too much.
Okay.
Okay. So Michael was explaining about the fact we were going to take some sites, some very prominent sites, and have them become new murals. Now, we see here on the right is the side of the WILG building, Women's
WILG?
Independent Living Group, which is a... Women's
part of MIT.
It's part of MIT. I think it's independently owned.
So this is the street that's right next to
Lafayette.
Where
the old gas station used to be.
Right. And this is Mass Ave over here.
Yeah, sort of like you might call it like the Sydney Street extension.
Right,
going toward Tuscany.
So this is a side view, and
That's the one of the faces that.
Is it going to go all the way up?
We don't know yet.
That's
the thing
pretty
is
high.
They're basically interviewing artists, potential artists. They're talking about the possibilities of what might go up, and there you go. Now, if we scroll down a little bit here, like right across on the other side of Lafayette Square, what you see in the background is actually Patrick Barrett's building. The
old Toscanini's was in there.
Right, it's now currently being remade into a boutique hotel, but the businesses will be returning. Actually, I heard is Toscanini should be expected back in the fall.
Oh.
That may be optimistic, but I'm going to try and hold everybody to their word on that. They are moving along.
So this is the space that we saw that day.
Yes, so that's looking directly at the building from Lafayette Square.
This is all temporary, this mural, because it's just while the construction.
This is the one that would be just completely temporary.
Right.
Now, and a couple days later, yeah, like actually this was yesterday, yes. I was down there, and in fact, yep. over directly in front of Tuscanini's,
right.
they've got like
yeah, I saw them doing it actually. Characters. I think it was on Saturday right. I saw them doing it.
So it's kind
yeah.
of festive, yeah, pretty nice very use of nice. Colors, but it's yeah. it's sort of doing double duty of, sort of yep. putting a little life on there, but right. also sending the message that in fact yes. Tuscanini's will be
He's
back.
Coming back.
So that's a pretty good thing to do. Now, if you scroll down a little bit more, we walked up the street to the corner of Mass Ave and yeah. Norfolk.
The old Blockbuster building.
It was a Blockbuster, yeah. and it was out
Everything.
Of blue, and
yeah,
et cetera.
All kinds of things.
So it's, you know, kind of the facade of the building mm-hmm. is in pretty sad shape. I will yep. be getting a new tenant soon. If all goes well, it'll be Revolutionary Clinics, which will be a medical marijuana
right in Central
dispensary,
Square.
Which
oh
will
goodness.
Eventually... Oops. Actually, the Central Square Advisory Committee is having a large project review about that one next week.
Mm.
But anyway, if you look over there, what you see is this sort of this just badger right. set right at the corner. And then off to the right, there you see an existing mural,
right,
which has been around there for a good long while. And apparently the person who was
They contacted the artist, right?
Right. And they were okay saying it's basically, it's
had
its
to be
day.
Anyway.
And,
yeah.
and so he's, so it, agreeable that one will go away and be replaced by something else.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's another site there
right.
where you'll see something brand spanking new. Now, these are not exactly in chronological sequence
yeah.
of our walk, but
Doesn't
but I
matter.
I sort of put these two together
yes.
here because they are two extremely
mm-hmm.
prominent large
yes.
building sidewalls.
Yes.
The first one on the left is the Sims.
You can't miss it when you're walking up Mass Ave. You
can't
miss
it. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, coupled with a lot of other kind of vandalism right below it,
Of course,
too.
You call it 54M5 or
did,
MS
but,
or whatever.
Right,
it's just
but Michael
Mara's
theme basically
Sims.
Was in touch with the person
yeah.
and apparently
yeah.
it's a Sims.
But I will argue that this is not a Y. I'm sorry. It's a 4.
I know. But
and they said, oh, it had to be the roller, but you could do diagonals. They
so,
did it here.
But that is the site that Morris Nagar has given the okay.
Yeah,
because
he owns this whole block, is that
most
right?
Most of the block. Not
like,
the whole block, but most
okay.
of the block. So that wall will be redone with some new mural of some sort.
But was he ever going to... He's allowed to build these buildings up,
he
right?
doesn't own...
But, oh, he those. Doesn't own those, that's right.
Right.
So this mural could be there for a while.
Well, this one's going to get covered over.
No, well, this isn't a mural, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Whatever
the
is being put there is going to be there for a while.
Gonna,
okay.
Will most likely be there for
all
a very
right.
long while.
Now, who
now,
owns this building?
All right, so this is
yeah.
the building here. It used to be the old Cambridge Electric Light Company building.
Okay.
It's where when a bank is in there now. It's
who
just
owns
to,
this building?
So
it's not Morris Nagar and it's not the people
not,
who own this?
No. No,
okay.
it's actually, it was sold. It used to be a fellow named Arnold Ginsberg, and it was
okay.
sold to a some LLC or something. They did a lot of restoration work on the front of it.
Yeah.
And apparently they're going to allow this side
wow.
here. Now everything, remember, this is private property, so
sure.
you can't just sort of
exactly.
you know, have some...
They have to approve it, right?
It pretty much has to be agreeable to
mm-hmm.
the property owners,
right.
Arts Council, Central Square Business Association. There'll
mm-hmm.
probably be some opportunity for
well, the Arts Council they're gathering the artists. Are they going to do the selection? Or?
I don't really know. I think
okay.
it'll be sort of done a bit hand in hand with
right.
property owners. So,
right, but they have to draw from a group.
I think
and that,
they're helping.
The Arts Council knows who the artists are.
Jason
right?
Weeks and
yeah.
the Arts Council are helping facilitate the whole
okay.
process because they have a lot of connections
sure.
with people that
sure.
others might not have.
That's what I mean.
Right, so that's a pretty prominent location.
Yeah,
right?
It is. Okay,
now this is a mural. This is an existing mural on
that's
the side
the,
of the HR
lot.
Building and
right.
the, and the facing the parking lot. That's staying.
Yep.
Right. I put it there for a couple of reasons. One is just to show that we already have murals, but also to point
oh, yeah.
out that there's almost a, sort of a I hate to put it this way, but kind of a typical Central Square mural,
mm-hmm.
which is lots of faces.
Is this a David Fichter one?
I think so.
Because I get confused with this one.
Sure.
There's also one on Brookline Street, but I
right.
think this is David Fichter.
But, you know, the sort of recurring theme
mm-hmm.
is sort of diverse faces of people.
Yes.
Of
right.
various ages, races, etc., in and around Central Square.
And I think this one was maybe repainted. No, I could be wrong.
It's
I
a rel- it's not that old a mural.
No,
actually.
But it, yeah. Okay.
Right? But the thing is that, you know, and again, it is a point I would like to make about it, which is that we sort of kind of get a bit of a sameness to the murals.
Yeah.
This is a great mural, but the thing is that if you look at other sites, they kind of have a similar quality.
Well, yeah, there's a couple others like it, but yeah.
All right. Now, so, now, if you wrap around the corner, go on to Bishop Allen Drive. So this is right looking on the back of the H Mart building,
so,
facing Green Street. It's just a big blank wall.
This is Bishop Allen.
It's where
Drive,
the deliveries
right.
are made for H Mart, or at least some
this
of the deliveries
the other
are
direction
made here.
Looking, whoops,
right.
That. Yeah.
So, so that's another wall. That's one of the candidates here for where there's going to be another mural. As you can see, that's another really substantial one.
Yeah, and again, we don't know if it's going to cover the whole thing.
We don't know, and
and
it could be
because that's a lot.
Could be more than one.
Right.
Right. But the thing is that it's a big site, really. It's not as prominent, unless you happen to be on Bishop Allen Drive, of course.
Right.
But it's not as prominent as the Mass Ave ones, you know. But it's prominent in its own way.
Yeah.
Now, if we scroll down a little bit more, you'll see here, this is an existing one here. Again, you know, people and faces and whatever.
Yeah, this is by the library, right? That's why I always thought this was David Fichter, but it isn't.
On the wall of the Green Street Garage.
That's right. Because it does look very
similar to the
other one.
And this one is actually quite falling apart. It's peeling off and...
So this is this the one that was decommissioned by the Arts Council?
So this is also to be decommissioned, yes.
Right, so which means it's okay to go over. Okay.
Now, some of us feel the best thing would be actually to rebuild the whole building because that garage could be better than what it is today.
Okay.
But
wait a minute, it's the side of this that's going to be painted,
Well, actually,
too.
Two
the
sides.
The whole thing,
and
right?
We only walked along, this is the Pearl Street side.
Right, and it's
but
the Green Street.
But if you wrap around on Green Street, that will also be getting a mural treatment.
Right, but you don't have a... Yeah,
so this is
it's a lot of
this
space.
This is a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
really big stuff.
Okay.
Now, if we scroll down a little bit more here, we have here along Pleasant Street. So there's an existing... kind of a modest stenciling job.
I missed
that
this one.
Done.
Where was I? I missed this one.
It's like on the side
Where
of the 7-Eleven building, pretty close to where
the
Cantab is.
7-Eleven.
Same property that the Cantab is in.
Oh, okay.
Right, but this is facing toward the library. Excuse me, toward the post office.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I just missed that.
Right, but if you wrap around the corner, there's a parking lot that's behind this building. And,
oh, right. Here's the post office to the left.
Yeah, so this is a parking lot that is at the corner, municipal
this
parking
is in
lot.
Back of 7-Eleven.
At the corner of Pleasant and Green Street.
So.
And that back wall there is going to get a treatment as well.
And they've gotten permission to do that.
Apparently so.
Wow.
All right.
Amazing.
Now we'll just scroll down a little bit more. This is an existing mural, but again, just to kind of show you what exists today, you see the one on the left is the one
this
that everybody
is beautiful.
Knows. This is the one on the Middle East.
This was the one that was redone recently.
It was refurbished recently.
Refurbished because it's so bright.
And it has
bright.
A lot of familiar faces. I mean,
do you know people in here?
Well, up in the upper left is Joseph and Nabil and his family.
Oh,
I think that's
up over here.
The
oh,
Seder
yeah,
family.
Of course. The same,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Oh,
that's their building.
Yeah. There's a woman. Directly, the older woman below, I believe, is actually a relative
here?
Of Glenn Kutcher.
Oh.
All right. But, you know, there was, you see
no,
a set of
nice.
Representation
yeah.
of musicians. Everybody loves this one. It's also interesting because it actually has extensions that go up above the building.
Yeah.
Edge. So it's really
Yeah, I like
this.
This
way.
Is beautiful.
No,
yeah.
It's really, it's great, actually. Now, down the other end of the street.
Oh, this is by the club.
Yeah, by what's now Sonia's.
Right.
This is a science-themed one called Nocturnal here, which was done as sort of in conjunction with some of the science interests around the city. So if we go down a little bit more, what we have here, here's another site. This one you may not recognize right away, but this is where the Citizens Bank is at Temple Street. If you come down Temple, close to where the Vail Court housing is, this is the back of the
Citizens
Bank.
Oh, that's right,
because
we walked through there, right.
And this is just a private parking lot that serves some of the big buildings there. And it's actually, it's a church, the Unitarian Universalists.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
So I think they have some ideas on what they would like back there. So they're working cooperatively to get something good like there. Now again, just a little sampler of what you see though, right there on the right picture is what, on the IDEO building, they did this rather dramatic, highly geometric, very bright colored painting on the wall there. I don't know.
So also this is like the facing, but
this
also
is,
it's along the whole building because this is going towards,
yeah,
it's on the other side where
so
they
this
have
is
the
kind
food
of where,
trucks and the beer and all
right,
that.
Right, so this is looking at it from more or less where Carberry's was or Lindell's Bakery was.
Right, because now it's Partners
Healthcare
or something.
Right.
Yeah.
OK, Okay, but just to give you a sense about some of the treatments that could happen. Now,
right. One
of the things that's a little unknown here is exactly what will happen.
Yeah.
You know, one of the points I've been making here is that all of these other projects sort of happen, you know, one a year, one every few years.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do 10 of them all at once, I send a message to Jason Weeks and Michael Monasim basically conveying my point of view about this, which was that I don't want to have like a 2018 timestamp or date stamp
yeah.
on all of them, have them all represent
the same
just
thing.
This one moment
yeah.
in time. So I've been trying to emphasize the notion about things being a bit timeless.
Hmm.
You know, something that's just beautiful, and if you look at it 15, 20 years from now, you'll still say, that's great. And it won't just look
like
a snapshot in time.
Like the Sitco sign? I don't know.
Well, it could be. Now, this, below here is completely unrelated, but
yeah,
I'm going to throw them up here just because I think there's some ideas in here. So there was a display down along the Rose Kennedy Greenway that I was by recently.
Mm.
It just showed neon lights from commercial establishments in various places.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that because, you know, if you really want to talk about dressing up Central Square, in addition
mm-hmm.
to murals, which is basically
mm-hmm.
paint on wall, I think personally,
yeah.
we could use a little neon in Central
yeah,
Square.
Yeah, but you mentioned anything with lights and neon.
I know. There are some people
whole...
who get very worked
yeah.
up about it. But
yeah.
let's just scroll down a little bit right here. So here's a couple more that were up on the Rose Kennedy Greenway.
Yeah,
really great looking stuff. And then we'll go down a little bit more. Here's one on State Line Potato Chips. But if you look over here on the right, you'll
this
see.
It's all busted up. Yeah.
You see here's actually the remnant of a neon sign.
And that place
Teddy
still
Shoes.
Exists.
It's still
it's
up.
Just,
it's
he
still
hasn't
in business.
Fixed it out.
And there it is. And you can see the broken neon.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting there sad as can be for
a
very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
So the point I would simply try and make here is that in addition to the murals, wouldn't it be great if we could also
yeah.
revive a few
maybe
other
put some,
things here.
Yeah.
Things that would really kind of liven things up at night.
Is there another sign
and the,
here?
And the very, very bottom one here. This is just a wonderful neon sign
yeah.
that was right at the little gathering we had at the end of the walk.
Yeah.
I just loved it because it's neon. And it just says a rather nice message, which I think we
can
all learn from.
Yeah, but I think it's not the talking, it's text less and do more.
Yeah,
maybe,
right.
Maybe
but the thing is that there are good things that
yeah.
people are trying to do now in Central Square, both
yeah.
with the murals, but I think there's some more we could do. So let's just make stuff happen.
And you didn't mention the wonderful goodies we got at the end of the mural walk. I mean, Roxy's, got to hand it out to Roxy's and their
nice
new
food.
Place, Whole Heart Provisions. They provided free
yeah.
food.
And also Lamplighter Brewery provided
free beer and drink. And,
yeah, yeah, it was great.
And then IDEO, is that how you pronounce it? Opened up their space there and they had some monarch butterflies. I didn't do it. And
yeah,
the Community
yeah.
Arts Center had little projects.
No, it was great.
So
it was
it
great.
Was a wonderful,
you know,
and music, the DJ.
DJ was there, that's right.
So
and
it was really nice.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at the end of it, I rushed off.
You
I
rushed
mean,
off
the whole,
in 90-degree weather
to
party.
Go
to.
I rushed
yeah,
off because I was
to the,
going up to
well,
the
so
old time baseball
McGovern, game. He was gonna
I saw him there, yeah.
yeah.
yeah. So so we went up to the old time baseball game up at St. Peter's
How
Field.
How was that?
It was actually a competitive game. You know, sometimes
yeah,
it's
it
a blowout.
Tim Wakefield was one of the celebrities, right?
Tim Wakefield was dressed in a Chicago uniform, and
Chicago?
I think he pitched the first inning. You know, which was fun. I actually got there a little late, so
yeah,
I didn't see
were.
Him pitching there for that.
Yeah.
And then Lenny Clark was there. You know, local Cambridge-born comedian.
Okay.
And he was being Lenny, a little outrageous.
A little
obscene, a little in time, but he actually managed to.
Which is not right. That's a family event.
I know he was, but it's Lenny Clark. What can you say? But the thing is he was out there really pushing like the auctioning off.
Oh, that's right. They were trying to
uniforms,
right.
you know, signed by Ray Bork, you know,
oh.
who was there as well, and he managed to drive up the price in the auction way high. So he did a good job.
Good.
I have to say.
Good.
By the way, there is an interesting little historical footnote I mentioned in sort of the political context, which is that, you know, the person who puts together the old-time baseball game more than anybody else is Steve Buckley.
Yay, Steve Buckley.
You know, Boston Herald
yes.
Sports writer.
And commentator on one of those.
EEI or something,
yeah.
one of those.
Well, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. And great guy, and also Cambridge-born and bred.
And does he still live here, though?
No.
No,
but he actually grew up right
yeah.
in my neighborhood.
He's kind of a... around the same age as Jimmy Tingle, or is he a little older? Might be a little older. Yeah.
Comparable, I think. You know,
he might be a little older.
I mean, Jimmy grew up on Broadway. Steve right. Buckley was right around the corner, about Prospect and Broadway, just around
there.
Oh, I
didn't know it was that close.
And up the street, in Cleveland Street, was where Lenny Clark was. So I think it was Cleveland Street.
Hmm.
But here's an interesting little political tidbit.
Okay.
Both Lenny Clark and Steve Buckley, once upon a time, were Cambridge political candidates.
Whoa. What? Did you know that?
I've known that for a long time.
When? Because they're like...
In 1975...
Oh, I just moved to Cambridge.
So Lenny Clark ran for Cambridge City Council.
Oh, my goodness.
And in the same year, Steve Buckley ran for Cambridge School Committee.
Wow. And I guess they didn't get it.
No, they didn't get it.
I didn't know that.
No, that's the way it was.
How many votes did they get, do you know?
About 600 apiece, 600 and change apiece.
Was it a serious thing, or was it more like...
You know, a little bit of both, I think. Yeah. You know, I've heard some stories about Lenny in those days there. But, you know, so anyway, so there
do
they were.
Do people know that he's a stand-up comedian? And
he actually had a national TV show at the time, too. But,
oh, he did?
Yeah, so here we have both Lenny and Steve both. It was like the 1975 political reunion in a way. So anyway, it was a great time. Final score, 5-4 visitors. Not that anybody really cares.
Because they're made up of all different people. Like college players.
College
players. Did they have to wear those old uniforms
they
in that
were
weather?
All
oh,
the,
God.
Yep. Oh, so you betcha, right? It was a sort of good crowd. It wasn't anywhere nearly as many people as we had last year. Because
of the weather, I think.
Well, and Pedro Martinez was the featured guest last year.
That's right.
You know, they were, you know, good celebrities here this time. Mm-hmm. But Pedro is Pedro. He's kind of something special.
Yeah. They should get Jason Varitek because, you know, he's around. He works for the Red Sox. He lives here.
That would be great.
That, right? That he's like a trainer or something?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he is part of the Red Sox. Pedro is part of the Red Sox. That's
Oh, yeah. No,
so next year, Steve Buckley, if you're watching this, try to get Jason Varitek.
There we go. We do that.
Okay.
So actually, I remember some years ago when Oil Can Boyd was the featured player. That was great.
Wait.
And actually, he came by.
Wasn't he a Mets person too?
I don't remember if he was or wasn't, but I do know that in some subsequent years, he actually showed up at the game as well. He wasn't like the featured celebrity,
but
there he was in the stands making rounds with people.
Wasn't a municipal candidate year, but any candidates around that night?
This year?
Yeah. That you noticed besides
not really.
Mark or any city councilors?
I think you might, maybe for the state rep seat, you might see a person for that. But the thing is, it's really not a venue because those are seats that go way outside of Cambridge. Tends to be
true.
Municipal election years. This
that's
is sort
true.
Of a
yeah.
must-see TV
right.
kind of event
must
for candidates.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a great time all around. The play-by-play is Glenn Kuchar.
All right.
The originator of the original one and only Cambridge
Inside Out. Back in
'88.
That's
right. We are just
89?
The sequel.
It ran for about
11 years, I think.
Because we didn't get American Cable Systems was the first cable company.
Right.
And I think that was
around the original
80s,
Cambridge Inside Out actually
yeah.
ran for about 11 or 12 years, I believe.
That's amazing.
Ended around maybe the year 2000, 2001, in around there, January.
Hmm.
I remember because Glenn sent me a message saying, well, that's all on you, buddy.
Yeah,
I said, thanks, Glenn.
And you started it with Susanna when?
2013, so it was many years later, but... You know, Cambridge Civic Journal, at least in some
part, tried to fill in a bit of that gap. You've been doing the Cambridge Civic Journal for how long?
Since 1997.
Okay.
That's been a while.
It's a great source. There are many, there's a lot
years.
Of sources now of Cambridge, Backyard Cambridge,
Beer
Podcast.
I think we're still,
Cambridge
is still sort of rediscovered.
What is this Finding Cambridge thing? That's just a city thing, right?
It's a city thing, yeah.
Okay.
I think the sort of the media, quasi-media landscape is still sort of trying to discover itself.
It is, but I do like some of these online presences because they really focus on Cambridge and not just, I mean, you have the Chronicle, but let's face it, it's now not what it used to be.
Yeah, it's like it's like micro-local journalism.
Yeah, because they
right?
use a lot of,
Yeah. There's no money in it, really, but that's good. I like
for
it that
any
way.
Of the, right, yeah.
But, it's. I think it's still discovering itself.
Oh, and Saul Tannenbaum's paper or whatever.
But that's really an aggregator. So he's
I know, but it's still, he's taking things that are from other places, so like a blog.
Yeah.
So. I'm just saying there's a lot out there.
Yeah. I don't know really where the future is headed with it, so we'll see. It's
With yours?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'll just continue doing what I do. But the thing is that, you know, we'll see where the future takes us. You know, it's a lot unknown in there. So let's see. So what else we got going on here? So, anyway, the main thing was Central Square, you know, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the Envision, and then there was one ordinance meeting about the New Street storage.
Yeah, zoning petition. And actually tonight they're on the agenda along with the flat roof zoning petition.
Oh, right, because I didn't go to that. That was last week.
At the planning board, but apparently I think the ones for New Street are trying to file for some sort of modification.
Yeah.
So that may be continued for the meeting tonight.
Oh, okay.
You know, but anyway, things are sort of happening. Okay. Word on the street is that...
Oh, yeah, you can talk about...
All right, the EMF building, which has sort of been a hot flashpoint.
120 Brookline Street.
I mean, one of the petitioners was trying to convince me to sort of drive hard to the city council to try and influence them to do this or that. And I had to sort of say, well, I'm sorry, but I think what's going to happen is that the musicians, artists, so thoroughly trashed the current owner with posters and everything that any notion that you're going to get
in protests, I think at the Mayfair or whatever it was.
Yeah, the notion that any of them are ever going to be invited back in that building is ridiculous at this point. So take that off the table. It ain't happening. But the thing is that it is that building as built, you know, whether it ends up being landmarked or not, the truth is that you couldn't build under the current zoning restrictions. You couldn't build a building of that scale on that site now anyway.
Really? Even though it's a quasi-district?
Well, it's still limitations. So the thing is it's actually probably economically best to restore the building, make it look like it did back in the 20s, and maybe take down a little piece of it and remodel some of it. But the thing is that it most likely have, you know, office commercial tenants.
Does he own the lot next to it? It's a huge lot.
No, the city does.
Wow, that's why the city was sort of interested. See, I didn't even
know
that.
Honestly, the city could try and leverage better outcomes.
Well, yeah, because they own half that space.
Right. But so the business with the potential landmarking, it's all kind of interesting academically, but I think in the end it's going to be completely
pointless. Well, I could see that a potential affordable housing with something else there.
Could have been, but I don't think that's what's going to happen now. So anyway, we'll see you next week on Cambridge Inside Out.